Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone at Keller Williams Realty. That's right, we sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anybody looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Rock Hill, Fort Mill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate, and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
All right, I'm here with Ronnie Williams. What's up, man? How's your day going? Good to finally meet you. Ronnie is the Southern Food Junkie. You've probably seen some of his content out there. The Southern Food Junkie is a self-described foodie that grew up on Southern food and now spends his time traveling to new places and trying out new restaurants. He has his own channel on YouTube, and you can find him on Facebook and on his website, southernfoodjunkie.com. So, Ronnie, welcome to the Jones Zone.
Appreciate it, guys.
Man, it's just me. My brother couldn't come, so that's actually good news for you because he
likes the buzz chops.
Yeah. So... but we'll go ahead and get right into it, man. I gave a brief introduction, but if you don't mind, kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into doing everything that you're doing.
Well, I grew up in the South, you know, South Carolina native and all that. So I've always had a love for Southern food, and you can tell I like to eat a lot. So, you know, my daughter, she wanted to get into making YouTube videos.
What is it with kids and YouTube? Like, my daughter will watch YouTube as long as I'll let her. Yeah. If I need her to be quiet, I'll go, here you go. It's YouTube for kids.
That's
for her,
right.
Because she's three.
They will binge on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you have to limit them on it. But, you know, they watch the little kid shows. They watch the, most of them are... I mean, I guess they're entertaining them. They kind
of—it's like kids, like the ones that she watches. It's a kid playing with toys most of the time.
Yeah.
Or somebody opens up like eggs with toys in it.
Yeah. Unboxings and stuff like that.
It's weird stuff. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's all right. That's kind of what got the ball rolling, and I had kind of always wanted to start, you know, something, you know, food related. I like going around to. You know, the idea come from going around to these small mom and pop restaurants is what I really wanted to go around and do. Once you get into videoing, though, you kind of, there's only so many you can reach without, you know, traveling further and further outside of your zone. So that's why I started adding in, you know, the other stuff. But it really all started with my daughter wanting to start, you know, like a family channel. And then from there, the idea kind of sprung, hey, I've always wanted to start, you know, a food-related, you know, channel. And so that's kind of what brought that idea about.
And so how long have you been doing this?
I think the actual family channel we started in June of last year.
Okay. 2016?
And then the food channel started in September, I believe.
So you've done over 100-something videos in less than... What, not 12 months? Nine months?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So you're kind of almost like the... It's for those of you who haven't seen the videos, it's almost like a Diners, Dine-Ins, and Drives.
Yeah, exactly.
Locally. Yeah.
Exactly.
How did you approach the first business? Do you remember the first restaurant that you did it at?
The first one, I'm going to tell you, I was really nervous. And probably the first 10 or so, I was really nervous. I didn't really tell the people I was coming, right?
You just sat down, you pulled your phone out and started taking pictures and videos.
I was a tourist, you know, so I went to the very first one I did was in Linville, North Carolina.
That's out near the beach, right?
No, it's in the mountains.
Oh, the mountains. Oh, that's right.
Linville Caverns.
Okay.
That's Lynchfield. You're thinking of it. Okay. But this is Linville, North Carolina, and there was this restaurant there called, I can't remember the full name of it, but it was like the famous Rock House, and it was like this really, really, really old house, no air conditioning in it. I mean, it was a really cool building. You know, where they're at, they really don't need air conditioning. They had all the windows up. I mean, it was cool. And you walked in, and the building's sitting on like three county lines. And, you know, it's like... one county line comes in, one county, and they got like a sign up telling you that there's three county lines in there. So, you know, I guess the way I figure, you know, people probably do that, you know, hey, this is a cool place, let me catch you a video of it. Now, there has been others that I have told the people I was coming, and, you know, after doing it for so long, I kind of don't really like scheduling it because, you know, scheduling stuff really is kind of hard, you know, to kind of pin something down, say, hey, I'm going to be there at this time, meet you at this time, and then, you know, the owner, he's running this business.
Mm-hmm.
The one guy I did an interview with at Country Omelet, really nice guy, really great place to eat. But, I mean, he's in the middle of running his business, and he has to stop to take time out to talk to me, and it's really hard for him, you know. So, at that point, I just said, you know, I'm just going to come in here, and, you know, some people do look at you strange, like, what are you doing, you know, because I bring this tripod in.
Yeah. So, the first few, tell us a little bit about the growing pains, because, like, people are always asking us about starting a podcast or starting videos, and... our advice is pretty much always the same. It's just like, man, just start it and see what happens. So, like, what gave you the confidence to kind of keep going? Or, like, after the first few, were you kind of nervous? Or were you man, I think I got the hang of this, actually?
I was nervous. And, I mean, to be honest, I was nervous coming in here to this because, you know, it's just something, you know, outside of my comfort zone, you know. But, I mean, you know, after you do it for a while, I can even go back and watch the first videos and watch the progression, and I can tell that I'm more confident, you know, as I got into it. But, I mean, starting out, it was, I tried different cameras and stuff, and I always kept going back to the phone. One reason was because it was a little less inconspicuous, you know, carrying something big, and I felt like if I come in there with a big camera, I would have to tell the people, hey, I'm coming here.
Yeah, I think we're the news or something.
Most people don't care. I mean, if you did tell them, they don't care because once you tell them what you're doing, you know, it's kind of free publicity for the business, you know?
Have you had any negative feedback? Someone saying, you know, don't put it on there? Or?
So far, I haven't, yeah.
Have you had any... Do you do negative reviews? I've seen most of the time you seem
yeah, I don't,
pretty positive.
And that's the thing. I try not to... I try not to call them reviews.
Okay.
I mean, even though that's kind of what it is, like a review channel, I like to say that I'm kind of like highlighting the restaurant.
Okay.
Like, bringing it to people's attention, someplace they may not know about, you know? I mean, I guess, like you said, back to diners and drive-ins and dives.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. The reason I was laughing is because didn't you do one on McDonald's? What, did they do like a new sandwich or something? What? I could have swore you did one on McDonald's.
There may have been like one or two.
It was probably like a little, like a new sandwich or something. I don't remember.
I've done, I know I've done a couple on Bojangles, KFC. That might have been what it was. The KFC, Nashville Hot, and then the Georgia Gold.
Oh, maybe, yeah. New flavors.
Yeah, they had like an oily finish to them, you know?
Okay.
I was expecting something like a hot honey mustard or something sauce, and it had like an oil in it. But
And so you also do product reviews, right? And then what else?
I do
recipes.
Yeah, I do some cooking. One that I just posted recently was like a low country boil, you know, which is a South Carolina traditional dish that comes from, you know, there's an area in South Carolina called Frogmore, South Carolina, which is out there like in Beaufort area, uh-huh. Beaufort County. I think it's on St. Helena Island. It's like a barrier island.
Okay.
And so in South Carolina, a lot of people in that area call it Frogmore stew. Other people call it low country boil. Have you ever had it?
Oh, yeah, with the shrimp and the potatoes.
You dump it out on a table.
Yeah, it's outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's one that I did recently. I did it maybe about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
So...
And how often do you blog? I know you guys, your website is real blog heavy, so how often are you doing that?
I do blogs about once a week, and I try to, as videos, I try to do them at least one video a week. Sometimes I get two a week.
Okay. And then how do you edit all your videos? Like, you seem like a one-man show, so you're doing all... You come up with the idea. How do you figure out which restaurant you're going to go to? And then you film it on your phone, and then how do you edit it, all that?
Sometimes it's restaurants that I already know about. I did have a humongous list of restaurants to go to, but we recently sold our house and moved, and we're in the process of building a new house, and I cannot find my list. And I kept kicking myself.
It's probably some storage unit somewhere in a drawer.
Because I kept telling myself to put this on my computer, you know, so I'd have it, you know, because I use my drive, you know, Google Drive or whatever. That way I'd have it everywhere. But I didn't do that. But sometimes I have had some people recommend from a blog a few restaurants. Or sometimes if I go to a new area, I'll use TripAdvisor. I actually got a profile on there that I've had since probably 2010 or 2012. So I got like a ton of reviews on there. It's Southern Food Junkie too, but I think I got a hyphen in there or something. But
what made you, was there anything in particular that made you come up with that name, Southern Food Junkie? Or you haven't been called that, have you?
No, I guess that's self-proclaimed. You're not supposed to come up with nicknames for yourself, right? But it was just a brand name, something I was trying to think of. I said, you know, something kind of catchy. And, you know, because I'm, a Southern boy, and I guess I'm a food junkie, you know. So yeah. I just kind of put it all together.
I love it, man. I mean, how important do you think it is? Because you have the same brand across all the different platforms that you're involved in. I mean, how important is it to you to really build that brand and in terms of capitalizing on this business you got going?
Yeah, I think that's important. When I first started, we had spoke earlier about the e-commerce stuff. Yeah. So I kind of knew that, you know, having the same logo and the same pictures across, you know, all your social media, that, you know, because, you know, from one to the other, you know, one good example is, like, let's say you have an Instagram profile and this Southern Food Junkie, but let's say I go over to Twitter and that exact same name, you know, is not used or can't be used. You know, those pictures and that color and that, you know, brand, I'm sure mine could be a ton better, but I try to use the same stuff in there, and it kind of just ties it all together. That way, if somebody comes here, they say, oh, I know this person, you know.
Yeah.
I try to do that in my videos too, if you notice. I'm not one of those people that says they like to take selfies, you know. I'm not really big into that. But by putting my picture with me holding the food, I try to do that so when people look over on the side, they know it's me and they know it's another video from me. If there's just a plate of food there, you know, it could be any other YouTuber, but if it's got my face in it, and it becomes recognizable, you know.
Yeah.
Once I got the brand big enough, maybe I would, you know, get a professionally developed logo. And then I would probably use that logo and, you know, start using that instead of my own picture or something like that. But
it's a hard balance to... We struggle with that as well. It's like, do we want to invest in buying whatever equipment we feel is going to be necessary to kind of take it to the next level? Or do we feel like it's kind of... And then we don't know. It's like, well, are we at the point where would that even make a difference? If, you know, I mean, do we have enough viewers to where...
Return on investment.
Yeah, yeah. So,
that's,
I mean,
the way I look at it.
If we have a little bit more money, we'd love to. It's a no brainer, but it's just a matter of trying to figure out where your money's best. I mean, we only have certain amount of marketing dollars, and I feel like that's kind of a marketing thing.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I could call it operations, but whatever. But I mean, we kind of feel like media is the way to go if you're going to build a business. So. With real estate, you know, it would be so boring just to cold call and call on for sale by owners and expired listings and call on your friends every day and just feeling like a pest, like, which is the traditional real estate route. You know, I don't know how much experience you have with agents, but, you know, we just wanted to do something different. So it was a way to kind of keep our face out in the public.
Yeah.
And just do different things. And then we've built a lot of partnerships with the business owners that we've
it's
visited
all about networking,
and talked,
right?
With, yeah, and talked with and networked. You know, we've had 58, 59 different podcasts and 17 or 18 different videos, and it's just about getting out and meeting people, man. And do you find that that's kind of helping your business?
Yeah.
Have you gotten a good reputation in terms of that?
Well, you know, most of the stuff I'm involved in is, you know, most of social media is all about community, you know. That's where big businesses is failing, and that's where, you know, small businesses is excelling, you know, because, you know, you have a one-man business owner, you know, like let's say, a guy down here has a hunting and fishing store, and he's real involved on his Instagram. You know, he posts pictures of new products that come in, and people, you know, comment on it, and then he responds. You know, well, you have a large corporation, and they don't do that. You know, they don't take the time to respond to the people, and that's what social media is all about. It's about that connection to people. And that's why YouTube is so polarizing, you know, because you watch somebody's videos and you feel like you actually know that person. You know, you've traveled along with him on their trips or them on their trips and to the, like for me, different eating places. And it becomes like you know those people. Well, each one of the social media communities that I'm in, you know, I'm very active in it. You know, I have... Some of them are across, you know, there's some people from YouTube that's on Twitter and Instagram, but there's individual people too from each one, and, you know, we share each other's content, we comment back and forth, you know, and that's kind of what it's all about. You're building a community there, and you, before long, you end up becoming friends with people in there, you know, networking.
Like have you had any restaurants call you yet and request that you come by or anything?
Yeah, I've had a few... the Country Omelet did, and I'm trying to think if the there was one. Most of them I've contacted, but I think I had a couple more to have. I can't remember which ones they were though.
It takes time, you know. Like, I mean, I think that's something that we've struggled with and we've had to learn too. It's like, it's not something that you can do one or two and you expect to make it big, or, you know, the Food Network's not going to call you off of three video blogs, you know. And
well, the problem is, too, like what I was meaning just a minute ago about the large business and the small business.
Yeah.
Well, then you also have the mom and pop businesses. Like, a lot of restaurants don't have any kind of social media. They don't know anything like what I'm doing exists until I approach them, you know. And there's been a few of them that shared my content, and it's done really well. I wrote a blog post about Waynesville, North Carolina, which is a little community outside of Maggie Valley. It's in western North Carolina in the mountains.
Okay.
And I did, to me, I call it the mini Asheville, because there's a lot of really nice restaurants in there, farm to table restaurants, and just old southern restaurants. And so I did this blog post of this 7 best restaurants in Waynesville, North Carolina, and I got one, you know, I contacted each restaurant and told them, hey, I was doing this, and I got one of them to really share it, and the post went semi-viral. You know, I got like 3,000 or 4,000 shares out of it on Facebook.
Oh, shares?
Yeah,
man, that's awesome.
And then, like, it's been shared like over 100 times on Pinterest. Maybe 40 or 50 comments, 30 comments, somewhere around there. And I got a lot of feedback from that, because, you know, that post inspired people. Either it was their favorite restaurant, or either I left one off the list and they wanted to tell me about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I try to always be very uplifting and positive, responding to people, you know, and actually we went back this weekend and I tried to hit up one of the restaurants they told us, but it was a Saturday, and it was closed on Saturday, so I didn't get it.
Why would a restaurant be closed on Saturday?
I don't know. That's what I was thinking.
Well, that's one of the reasons it didn't make on the list. How about I try to go there? It was closed. So we do a lot of Facebook stuff, but you seem like you're primarily involved with YouTube. Why do you feel like YouTube is the way to go, or do you feel like YouTube is the way to go? And then,
I think each has its own, you know, purpose. I use Facebook a lot, too. I use Facebook to advertise my contest a lot, because to me it's easier to get somebody to like, share, and comment on your Facebook posts. I did a few contests on YouTube, and it just didn't go too well, and I started doing them on Facebook, and they seemed pretty well. I did have, we was talking about companies contacting me. I did have a national company contact me called Freddy's Steak Burgers that just opened up right
here.
Yeah. Well, they contacted me 6 months ago on Twitter and said, hey, we're coming to your town. And then the day before opening, they contacted me and said, you know, hey, we're opening tomorrow. So I went and did a video.
Yeah,
I
saw that video, yeah.
So I contacted them back and said, hey, I did a video. You know, they watched it and they said they liked it. And I said, how about, would y'all be interested in, you know, sending like some gift cards or something to do a giveaway with? So I try to tie that in. If I do a product review, I try to see if the company wants to send a product to do a giveaway with, you know, like the following week. And like I've done, like the Great Scrape, the one with the barbecue cleaner, yeah. That video did really well for me.
Was that on Shark Tank, that product?
I think it may have been.
I think it was, man. I remember thinking it looked really familiar.
I got a new one that's coming up tomorrow, and that one was on the food, a new product coming up tomorrow. And that product was on the Food Network. It was on a show, and I don't think the show is airing no more, but it was basically like the Shark Tank, but it was a Food Network version. It was called Food Fortunes. I think it only had one season. But it looked like some, you know, because I watched Shark Tank, it looked like a few of the people on there I've seen on as the sharks. You know, the sharks on food were on, you know, the same people.
Interesting.
But this one I'm coming out tomorrow, I can go ahead and tell you. It's called the Great Plate. It's like a tailgating plate or it's a plastic plate like you would put your food on. You know, and the cool thing about it is it has a coaster right in the middle. So, so like if you're standing up, you know, you're at a food, you know, a gathering, you put your drink right in the middle and it's balanced because it's right in the middle and it has like a build up. Kind of looks like one of those chip and dip plates.
Yeah.
But it's completely round around and it says it'll float. I didn't get time to test it.
Interesting.
But it says it'll float. And then they have a cup called the Great Cup that's, you know, it looks like a solo cup, fits right in there, perfect for it. But you could use any cup, you know, bottle or soda can or whatever. And then they have a coaster that you could use, like, if you was at the beach, any kind of uneven surface.
Very cool. What's kind of the coolest product that you've reviewed? Or are you allowed to say that? or the most interesting?
I've done, you know, a lot of the products that I've done were food products, you know, like, you know, edible products. You know, like I did Unicole Preserves, which is out of Georgia. I've done Palmetto Cheese, which is, I mean, they're a national brand, but they're located in Pawleys Island, South Carolina.
That's the
Palmetto, yeah, it's pimento cheese,
yeah.
But they call theirs Palmetto Cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, it's the Palmetto steak and all that.
Okay.
That's the kind the play on
it's
it.
It's got the old lady on the cover. And yeah, it's got
it's really good pimento cheese,
and
too.
It's got, like, bacon and jalapenos.
Bacon, yeah, they got a bacon one and jalapeno.
That stuff's good, man.
And I did a Southern Pierogi, which is here in Charlotte, and they actually have a pierogi that they make. You know what pierogies are, right?
Yeah.
It's like a European dish.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually have a pierogi that they stuff with the palmetto cheese.
Oh,
and it's the jalapeno flavor.
Mm.
Excellent. But probably my favorite, I like that Great Scrape that I did, the wooden paddle. It's so simple. It's like one of those things, why didn't I think about that? And it molds to your grill grates, and it keeps you from, you know, getting the bristles in your food. I've liked that so far.
Do you have a smoker at your house?
I don't have a smoker, but I got a grill, a gas grill, and I got a charcoal grill, kettle grill.
Okay.
Kettle charcoal grill, you know.
Have you been to Z Baker yet?
Z Baker?
Yeah,
is
it's right
here?
On the street. Yeah. Well, we love that place. We've,
I think I seen it when I was wheeling around here trying to find
it. Yeah, we did a...
Is it right on Academy?
Yeah, we did a video and a podcast with them, man. It's really great.
I have done I did do a sweet shop in Rock Hill, though.
Okay.
It's called Hey Sugar Shop.
That sounds familiar.
She used to do marketing for, she was a brand marketing, and then she started her own, man, the stuff she makes.
Delicious.
I mean, she makes, like, sugar cookies, but she make, like, she did one for, I think she did it for Michael Jordan.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, she did one in the design of a sneaker, 23, had 23 Air Jordan on it. But she makes other stuff, too. Like, she got this thing called a palmetto pie. It's like a huge cookie with filling in it, and it's good stuff.
Very good. Well, tell me a little bit about your life as an entrepreneur. We have lots of people like that that listen to our show. I mean, you, before you got into this, what all did you do?
Well, as far as entrepreneurship, before I did this, immediately before this, I had an e-commerce store. I sold sunglasses. It was called Catawba Valley Trading Company. Originally started it by, you know, I wanted to sell handmade, handcrafted items. And I started out with the business buying stuff from yard sales, antiques, antique dishes. And I did that kind of to build up my, you know, on eBay, your feedback rating.
Oh, okay.
So I just, you know, whether I just kind of wanted to break even, just get a lot of stuff out there so I can get feedback and get the score up. But then I tried to contact a lot of people, but I just found that, I don't know, the people that made the handmade items, they were reluctant to let me buy them from them. I don't know why, but it was like they thought I was going to sell them and tell everybody they were my products or something.
Interesting.
You know?
Okay.
I mean, I approached several people about it, and I didn't come up with a name that I thought was kind of, you know, coincided with that, you know, handmade craft item, so I was stuck with that name. So I ended up starting to transition to sell sunglasses because sunglasses, you know, you can, you know, the thing with the eBay stuff was it was one of a kind stuff. I may never find that again. With sunglasses, you can keep buying the same thing over and over again. There's really good markup in sunglasses.
I imagine so, yeah.
They're really lightweight, so you can ship, you know, one pair of sunglasses, you can ship first class anywhere in the continental U.S. for, like I said, for first class, you know, which is the cheapest shipping you can get. $3, I can ship something to Hawaii from my house, and I could offer free shipping on a $60 pair of sunglasses and not eat up a lot of the profit. And they, most of them come in a hard case, the ones that I sold, so you didn't need a lot of packing, and I would put them in the smallest box I could get them in. Post office would come pick them up in the morning for me from my house in rural Fort Lone.
Yeah. You did some real estate stuff too?
Yeah, I owned a few houses when I was 20. That's really what I wanted to do when I was in high school. You know, I wanted to be a real estate, you know. I wanted to be in real estate sales, and I wanted to, you know, have rental properties and stuff like that. That's what really I wanted to do. And I still have that desire, but I don't know, I just, it fluctuates so much. I'm just scared to make that transition, you know.
It's tough when you have a steady income to switch to real estate.
Yeah,
like that.
That's,
you got to save up for a few months before you do that.
It's really always been a dream of mine to have something to do with, you know, real estate or building or something. I like the tiny home movement too.
Oh, yeah. You should check out our podcast with Dale Dove. Have you heard that one?
Dale Dove. Is he from Rock Hill?
Yeah, he's an attorney in Rock Hill.
Is he the one that's trying to get the homes for the homeless?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I found him on
Facebook. He came on our podcast and talked about it. Very interesting program, man. He was talking about not only for the homeless, but for people who can't afford rent. You know, rent has skyrocketed. So he was like, you know, we can build these tiny homes and mortgage payments are only like a couple hundred bucks. So someone making minimum wage or someone that's working and just can't afford, you know, $1,500 mortgage can buy one of these houses for like $200 for a mortgage payment. So it was crazy. So he's trying to get the city of Rock Hill to change some of their zoning laws.
Yeah, that's,
and all that.
I think I've seen about that. What's...
Yeah. So they won't, the city of Rock Hill won't let any dwellings that are under 850 square feet. So he's trying to, and he's got plans like for his whole subdivision. Like, it's really cool. It's like, man, good for you, dude.
See, I had that
too. So you should get with him if that's something you're passionate about. I'm sure he's like an all hands on deck kind of guy. He'd be glad to have anybody help him. So, but yeah, he did the ROC. You familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. So he was like a
chairman.
Renew
or
our
something.
Community. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was.
So he helped start that.
I think he founded that. Yeah, I don't
think
he's involved with it anymore. But of course, he's got his attorney practice and stuff. But yeah. So, all right. You got any cool restaurants or cool new food items that you want to talk about?
Let's see, coming up, I got a company. I'm not sure where they're based out of, but it's called Kyvan.
Okay, how you spell that?
I think it's KYVAN. Let me see exactly.
Okay.
They're sending me something. They're supposed to be sending me something here shortly. It's a sauce. It's like a barbecue sauce. And supposedly, I didn't look and see in my local, in Rock Hill, we have a Firehouse Subs. You know how they have all the sauces? They told me that they're in most of the Firehouse Subs, some of their sauces. But they have one that's called sweet potato sauce. So I'm interested in trying that and seeing what that's all about.
Interesting, yeah.
And it's actually owned by an ex, I think he's retired now, a football player, NFL football player, played for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, okay.
He was a tight end for them. Let's see if it, yeah, it's Kyvan, KYVAN.
Very cool.
And let's see if that we can find that guy's name on here. But that's what I got coming up. And restaurants. His name was Reggie Kelly.
Reggie Kelly.
Yeah. Went to a cool restaurant this weekend, but my camera battery died on
it. I did.
And it was called Cheryl's Pioneer Restaurant.
I never
but
heard
it really was. It was in Clyde, North Carolina. It really was more of a short order grill.
Oh, okay.
But I ended up getting a roast beef, open face roast beef on toast.
There you go.
It's pretty good.
All right, man. Well, I'm going to give you about 30 seconds. Just kind of take us home. I mean, tell us how people can find you and tell us what all you guys do and just kind of give us, take us home here in the last
few
minutes here.
You can find us on our blog at Southern Food Junkie. Voice is going out on southernfoodjunkie.com. Same thing on Facebook, southernfoodjunkie.com. And Twitter is spelled a little different. They didn't have Southern Food Junkie, so it's Southern, it's SOUTHRN,
okay.
Food Junkie. And yeah, on YouTube, if you just type in on Google, Southern Food Junkie, it'll bring up a ton of our content. It'll have our videos, our webpage, stuff we've done. Hopefully we'll be doing a restaurant near where some of your viewers live.
Awesome.
If you got any, I don't know if you got any that's out of the Charlotte area. We've got a few done in Charlotte, throughout North Carolina, one or two in Tennessee. I got to get down to Georgia and do some in Florida.
There you go.
So we can round out that
Southern SEC
map.
Conference.
Yeah.
Right? All right, man. Well, Ronnie Williams, Southern Food Junkie, I appreciate you coming on. You guys, check out all his content on all his pages. Lots of good stuff, and you'll discover new things for sure. All right, man. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.